in your pew if you want to make a donation there. Let us now worship the Lord.
Our scripture reading from Luke's Gospel is the joy of two pregnant women celebrating the presence and power of God at work in their lives. Mary's song of praise describes with joy all the salvation the birth of her child will bring. As we hear this familiar story regarding the birth of Jesus, may we see with eyes of the faith of the wondrous God who is at work among us even still today. We're reading from Luke 1:39-56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the holy. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. We should pray now. Let us pray. God with us. May we always remember we are never alone. May we be thrilled to joy when we realize that you did come to lead, love, and save. Because you did come to us, your people, in the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ, ready our faith by the presence of your Holy Spirit for your final coming again. As we await that great day, enable us to live as hopeful, peaceful, joyful people who know of your great blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's go to the liturgy and the bulletin. Rejoice! The Lord is drawing near. This is what we celebrate during the Advent season. As we wait with joyful anticipation for the unfolding of God's plan, it is a time of pure and holy joy. Our joy is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the Promised One, the Anointed One. Joy is at the heart of our Advent journey. We live in the confidence that Jesus Christ draws ever nearer to us, and the peace of God will guide our hearts and minds. We light the third Advent candle, the candle of joy. With grateful hearts for the promise of the coming of our Lord and Savior, we rejoice in God's faithfulness in the past and into our present age. We rejoice that our lives are renewed through the joy of our salvation. May we share this joy with the world.
Let us be prepared as we worship God, sharing the call to worship, which is printed in the bulletin, these words from Isaiah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. Let us pray. Great God of power, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins. We thank you for the prophet's hope, the angel's song, the birth in Bethlehem. We thank you that in Jesus, you joined us, sharing human hurts and pleasures. Glory to you for your wonderful love. Glory to you, eternal God, through Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings forever. Amen.
Please stand and join in the hymn on page 22, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. But the good news is, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. With this in mind, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need as we pray together the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not accepted your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and your peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and seek things that endure. Amen.
The good news is that the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled. We know that the one has come who has redeemed us from our sins. Beloved in the Lord, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Seated. At this time, we bring our offerings, our gifts of love, our confidence that our God is good and that God's goodness blesses us in every way. Let us give thanks to God as we give our gifts.
us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with joy in our hearts, the kind of joy that only comes from knowing you. Thank you for your many blessings, especially the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be reminded he came into this world of sin to save us from ourselves. Help us spread the joy of his love as we present to you this offering and dedicate it to your use. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come up. You guys coming? Thinking about it. I won't bite, I promise. It's okay. It's okay. Good morning. My name is Mr. Ainsworth. I'm the visiting preacher today. What's your name?
My name is Quincy Lee.
That's a long name, isn't it? do you ever think, where'd you get your name? Your parents gave you your name? Your mom came up with the idea? Okay. Are you named for somebody special? Don't know? You don't think so? Okay. Well, you know, people get names from our parents, and they come from different things sometimes. My name, I have a double name. I'm named for both of my grandfathers. My name is Jim Tom. So not many people except Miss June call me that, but my family does. So sometimes you're named for somebody in your family. Sometimes your name for somebody, maybe your mom read that name in a book somewhere, you think? Don't know. But how we get our names is because, why do you think we got our names? Oh, that's a great point. What he said was, if your name wasn't real, nobody would know who you are, right? You would be Mr. Anonymous or Ms. Who's It? We get our names because, and you said your mom and your dad gave you your name. Well, my mom and my dad gave me my name because our parents love us, right? Now, this season of the year, we're celebrating the birth of a baby. And what's his name? Jesus. And who gave Jesus his name? Well, they did because God told them to. Yeah. And do you think God gave Jesus that name because he loves him? Absolutely. And Jesus' name was very special. He's not named for a grandparent or just a name out of a book. His name means something special. Do you know what Jesus' name means? Something about God. That's a great guess because it means Jesus means God saves us. Savior is another word for the name Jesus. So when God, who loved Jesus, gave him that name, it was a name that is very special to us too, isn't it? Right. So let's think about our names and how much we're loved, but how much more God loves us by giving us a baby whom he named Jesus. Okay? Will you pray with me? And you say this after me. Thank you, God, for giving us Jesus and for showing us how much you love us. Amen. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able and join in the hymn, page 53, What Child Is This? Read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 68 through 79, found on page 58 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to go along with me. What is so amazing about this passage is Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and very aware of God's activity. He recognizes that God is continuing to fulfill what God has promised long ago, and it fills his heart with hope and joy. It is a reminder that today we can count on God to fulfill all that he has promised in our lives, for God is always faithful and trustworthy. Let us be attentive to the reading and hearing of God's word. Luke 1, 68 through 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people for the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
To Bethlehem, not very far. May we find the stable room lit by a star? Can we see the little child? Is he within? If we lift the wooden latch, may we go in. May we stroke the creatures there, ox, ass, or sheep. May we peek like them and see Jesus asleep. If we touch his tiny hand, will he awake? Will he know we've come so far just for his sake? Great kings have precious gifts, and we have not. Little smiles and little tears are all we've brought. For all weary children, Mary must weep. Here on his bed of straw, sleep, children, sleep. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of
Our Old Testament lesson today also has the verse that is our text for the sermon. Listen for the word of God from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 7. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd of a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Glad to be with you this morning. I always feel like I'm coming home when I come to this congregation to see old friends and meet new ones, and that's always a joy. Today, we're looking at an Old Testament passage, a passage in the book of Jeremiah. I was doing some reading in Jeremiah earlier during Advent and came upon this phrase, which I want to suggest to you is a theme. It could be a theme for you for Advent. It is the last verse of the passage that I just read. I will give the priest their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty. In another version, in the title of the sermon is, satisfied with God's goodness. But you know what? I like that phrase, satisfied with God's bounty, even better. Bounty means fullness. It means everything that we could want or need. And so this morning I want to suggest to you that I find that an urgent and an important theme for God's people during Advent. When you think about your life during this season of the year and how much of it is lived and spent, busy, doing lots of things, gathering things in, it's good for us to pause and think about the bounty of God in which we all live. To live within the means of the blessings that God gives us. I said to Helena this morning, if she got up in time, she could have seen a beautiful sunset, but she didn't get up in time. If any of you got up early this morning and looked to the east, that was absolutely, Kip saw it, gorgeous sunrise. It's a gift of God. A gift of God for the beginning of this day. And one of just many. God's bounty and God's blessings are new every day. And what a rich joy to gather together here this morning with God's people. And to be aware of, to be sensitive to be knowledgeable of the great blessings, the great bounty with which God has given us. As we look at this passage in Jeremiah, we have to understand this text in its context. It is about the return of the people of Israel from exile and their restoration in their homeland. So they've been away from Israel for a long, long time. They've been punished. They've gone through slavery. They've been away from home. And so now they're coming back to a land that's actually devastated. It's like the people returning to Paradise, California. There's nothing left. And so here they are, facing rebuilding, facing building homes, planting gardens and crops. And there's absolutely a wasteland there. And this promise of God through Jeremiah is that there will be wonderful things will begin to arise. There will be water for their crops. There will be abundance from their fruit trees. They will be able to build their houses and settled with their families once again. But Jeremiah is also there to remind the people of Israel, and maybe there's a reminder to us, that it's not just the physical reparations. It's not just the getting your house ready for Christmas. It's about the spiritual restoration as well. Jeremiah says to the people of Israel, what good is it if you build a house and God is not within its walls? What good is it to you, people of Angelina County and Houston County, if you decorate a gorgeous tree and have your table full of a bounty, but do not have the Spirit of the living Christ in your heart? So today, I urge us all to remember the bounty of the Lord to us, the richness with which He feeds us, and to be filled this Advent season with the joy of those great spiritual blessings. You know, I may be kind of like a potato farmer who had three lovely daughters. The first daughter married an Idaho potato family, which made the farmer very proud. The second daughter married the russet potato family, which made the farmer even prouder. The third daughter married a newscaster at a local television station, and the farmer was very disappointed. After all, his son-in-law was only a commentator. Jeremiah is reminding all of us that our very reliance on material blessings, on the security of good health, or money in the bank, or a house full of toys, is essentially a wasteland. It cannot give us the ultimate security of the shepherd and his flock, of the exiled prodigal at home. And so we spend our days worrying about the stock market, the price of cattle, interest rates on our CDs, burglars, health problems, old age, and taxes. And we forget how truly rich we are in the bounty of God's gift to us of Jesus Christ. So I challenge you in this Advent season to stop worrying about all those things. And in this phrase from Jeremiah, to be satisfied with God's goodness. You know, it was good advice for the people of Israel. God promised them in verse 12 that their lives would be like a watered garden and they would never languish again. Can you imagine? You can imagine because you've seen the pictures on TV of the people in California coming home and hearing these words of promise from God. You will be like a watered garden. Now this is what God is saying to the people of Israel, restored to the nation again. And God promises in verse 13 to turn their mourning, their M-O-U-R-N, into joy. So that God's call to be satisfied with His goodness is backed up with God's gifts every day to the people of Israel and to us. So I challenge you during this Advent season to trust God's goodness. To trust God's goodness. To be satisfied with all that the Lord provides. You don't have to give up your job. You don't have to give away all you have to be satisfied with God's goodness. You just have to sit down a little bit and count your blessings and know how truly bountiful God has blessed you. For His fullness have we all received, writes John. A man was concerned about the nature of his illness and his dreams. And so he consulted with his doctor. "You got to help me, doc," the man said. "Last night, I dreamed I was a teepee. And the night before that, I dreamed I was a wigwam." The doctor shook his head sadly and responded, "I'm sorry to tell you this, you're just too tense." So if you don't want to be too tense during Advent season, stop worrying about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear, but seek God's righteousness and His goodness, and know His bounty is full. I want to read again these words from Isaiah, part of them, reminding us of what a great gift God has given us. I can never read these words without hearing them in Handel's great oratorio, and you're blessed that I'm not going to sing it, but I am going to read it. A reminder of the goodness of God for each of us. "Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The people walking in darkness," that's us, "have seen a great light. on those living in the land of deep darkness. That's us. A light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Friends, we have a bountiful gift from our God. Be satisfied with God's goodness. Amen. Let us respond to the hearing of God's word as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Will you please stand? And let us say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time in our service, we, as a family of faith, we pray for those who are in need. You have in your bulletin a list of prayer concerns. Are there additions to these prayers that you would share with your church family this morning? Oh, okay. Martha. Marjorie Brock. Okay. Let us pray. Oh God, we come to you because you are the source of great wonder and joy. You have blessed us with such blessings that our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in your house forever. We come to you this morning because our friends and our family have needs that we cannot meet. But we offer them up to you in prayer that you will bless them richly, that you will heal their diseases, comfort their spirits, guide the direction of their lives to your glory and honor. And while we have names we have listed aloud and printed in our bulletin, there are names that are in the secrets of our hearts that we whisper to you now in silence. And we go forth, Lord, knowing that you hear our prayers, knowing that each one we have named in prayer today will be touched by you and by your Holy Spirit. And there will be a change. There will be a change in their lives. We pray for our community, for those who keep us safe as law enforcement, fire personnel, first responders, doctors, and nurses. We pray for each of them as they labor through this season of the year. We pray for those who teach our children, and for our children who are being taught and who are learning your love in a special way. Guide those who are traveling. Keep them safe. Bless and watch over our pastor, Brian, and his wife, Virginia. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will touch this very nation and this world. Where there is darkness, bring your light. Where there is war and fighting, bring your peace. Where there is confusion and a lack of leadership, bring your justice. All of those have come to the earth in Jesus Christ. So now let his name be known in all the world. And hear us as we pray together as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, Savior of the Nations, Come, number 14. That passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. In the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be upon you and abide with you always. Amen.